Hey. Hey, we're back. Remember me? Cuca Lake is beautiful. So, my wife is a little under the weather. We didn't eat the best last day. So, oh, dear. She'll be back. We'll be here Wednesday. How about that? So, hey, some announcements then. We'll get started while Dave is away. We want to pray for them. We'll have a moment of prayer in a little bit. Just a few things, though, to announce about besides your bulletin. Everybody get a bulletin before you go home. Place to write on the back. We're still doing the Bright Alternatives fundraiser, and the announcement is there were 25 bottles distributed here, right? Then there's about 10 still out there floating around. So please return them. The announcement says empty or full. The preference is full. But even if not, if you've got the bottle, please bring them back because they only have so many of them and they'll use them over again next year. So please return all your bottles. Can they do that by Sunday, next Sunday? Is that all right? All right. Okay. So keep that in mind. Then, wow, we're into August already. There's community-wide VBS. There's a boxed announcement in your bulletin about that. And if you have kids to be registered or know someone who would like that, it's going to be held from 5 to 8 p.m. on August 15th through the 19th down at Island Park, ages 5 to 12. And the incentive, if you register by the 8th, you get a free dinner somehow or other, a free dinner each night. That's what it is. And registration is on the Salvation Army Facebook page using the website printed on the notice in the foyer. There's a note, there's not this, but there's notices out in the foyer. Or you can use one of the longhand forms that are printed out there for you to take. So there's lots of ways to register. Then we're still working on Saturate USA. Lene or Luann will be out in the foyer after church to help anyone who still wants to participate in that. It's an outreach to every home in 14895. And maybe all over the country it's every home in every zip code. I'm not sure. But that's our task. Please do. There's a partner for you. Okay. Very good. And, of course, we have our normal things coming up. Men's Bible study tomorrow night and Wednesday night prayer at 7 o'clock. And so partake in that. God has been moving in the prayer. And now, well, let's take a minute to pray, and then we'll introduce Pastor Josh. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that you are the best, Father, and that you are our loving creator, our provider, our healer, Lord, our everything. And Lord, we just look to you to provide in this service and Lord, to just have your way, to speak forth your word. Father, we want to lift up all who are traveling, especially Pastor Dave and Carol, Father, that you would just give them times of refreshing and strengthening and safety in all that their travels and blessings with their time with family. And Lord, we just thank you for all these things. We look to you to guide us, Father, through this day, this coming week, Father, to be used of you, Father, to love people well. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And as always, remember, we have our offering box here. We haven't been doing collection time, and that's been working out really well, I think. So if you have something for the offering, remember that in the box. And now, boy, this is going to be fun because Pastor Josh has to have had an interesting time, people trying to guess either how do you spell it or how do you pronounce it. Pastor Whippy, he graduated from Elam Bible Institute 2005 and had some time in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at the New Harvest Church, and then in 2008 came back up here to Pioneer Christian Fellowship as part of the ministry team. He's an associate pastor there, which means you do almost anything. General ministry, pastoral care, youth, graphic design, media, guest services, prayer ministry. There's the many hats. And he's ordained with Elam, his wife Jess, and he are parents of three daughters, Adlin, Audrey, and Arden. Did I say that right? Adlin. It's like Wasdorp in Dutch. They love the letter A. Lots of A's there. So, Pastor Josh, come up and share what God has put on your heart for this place. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ed. Can we give it up for the worship team for leading us into in some great worship there? All right. So thank you, Ed. Appreciate it. I want to start off, first of all, saying how incredibly happy and excited I am for being here in Wellsville. The work God is doing here is amazing. And Dave and Carol, I'm telling you right now, God knows what he's up to. And their heart for this church and for this community is like none other. They've been, I'm a little jealous because if you know, they were at PCF for a while. And I got to, they're just talented beyond belief. Easy to work with, which is incredible. And most of all, they can hear the voice of God like nobody else. And they're so humble and humble but wise at the same time. And I'm a little jealous that they're gone, but you guys are in good hands. I believe that. I also believe that the Lord's doing great things in Wellsville. You know, a lot of times we look at the negative, and we'll get into that a little bit today. But I'm telling you today, God is doing good things, and he wants to use you to do those good things. See, a lot of times we say, well, God, what are you doing? But we don't actually say, God, I'm willing to be involved. So what I'm just encouraging you, no matter where you are in your walk in faith, is that God has called you to greater than what you have. And that's not even what I want to preach to you about today. In fact, I was thinking, I was going over my list of things of what I could talk about and I'm praying about, and I had like two messages picked out, and I felt like the Lord's like, you know, I really want you to bring something encouraging to Wellsville. Bring an encouraging word, something that's gonna leave a lasting impact of encouragement. So today I'm gonna talk to you about despair. Now hold on, we'll get there, but I'm going to talk to you about despair, and the title of my message, if you're taking notes, is Defeating the D's of Despair. Defeating the D's of Despair. I want to make something incredibly clear to you this morning, as you probably already know, but I want to make it clear, that the enemy of our souls wants us to be in a pit of despair. The enemy of our souls, his goal is for us to end up in despair. Now, what exactly is despair? You may have felt that at times, but despair, the definition, is the absence of hope. That is no hope. Not 50% hope, I got a little bit there, not 10%, none. It's empty and void of hope. And maybe you're in that place today of despair, or maybe you've been there, or maybe you feel like you're going down that road. I'm telling you this morning that even though Satan is trying to bring you into a pit of despair, that God's hope for you and God's will for you and his plan for your life is to be a victor, not a victim. His plan for you is not to be caught up into the pit of despair, but actually be on with him on the mountain looking over what has happened in your life and what's, you know, he's got an aerial view. You know, all the times we look, as I look through here in this valley, I can see some things and I see some other hills. It's very hilly over here. I don't know what's beyond that, but you know what? He does. He does. And he does not want us to be in a pit of despair. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Again, I have three daughters. A lot of times they feel like they're in a pit of despair. And it's over the most ridiculous things of all time. I can think of one time my now six-year-old daughter, they were playing outside. Her and her older sister, Adeline, were outside playing. And they came in, and Audrey looks at her sister and says, "Gee, Adeline, that was sure great playing outside. And I remember the feeling I had was, who is this kid? What happened to my child? Why is she so full of hope? I felt like I was on Little House on the Prairie. I'm like Charles, and here's Laura, you know, everything's going great. But then, you know, this child, everything's going super well. Everybody's happy. And then I uttered these words, girls, it's time to get ready, brush your teeth, and go to bed. Despair entered in. She fell in the pit of despair. This child who was once super happy like that fell into a pit of despair. Now, that's funny for us to talk about, but the truth is that we often find ourselves really close to that pit of despair. And I don't believe that's where God's called us to. And I believe that there's four D's that we're going to go over. There's probably more. But there's four of them that we could look at and say that these are the things that lead to no hope, the absence of hope, despair. And I believe that God wants us to defeat them in his name. Amen? So while we're talking about this, about despair, you'll probably remember that the story of Job. The story of Job is in the Old Testament. If you want, you can turn there. We'll be there for a little bit today. Job is interesting because I find a lot of times, I don't know about you, but you're like, oh, I'll read some scripture today. And you start with Job and you say, I don't want to read this. Let me go over to something more happy like Psalms, right? Let me go to something that's a little bit more uplifting because it's heavy. It's incredibly heavy. But while we're going to be reading it today, you will be finding in the scriptures that we're going to be in that Satan had a goal, and Satan's goal was to prove that God, he was trying to prove to God that Job only loved him because of his blessings. Satan wanted to deceive Job to the point, to bring him to the point of despair, to show God, see, he never loved you because of who you are. He loved you because of what you gave him. And he's trying to use these D's of despair to bring him into that place. See, just like the enemy of our souls, he's doing that to us too. His job is to come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to strip us of our hope completely. He wants us in the pit of despair. He didn't just want Job to go through a difficult season. He wanted to strip Job away from God. And that's what the enemy's goal is for us. But thank God he doesn't win. Amen? The enemy wants to strip you away from the Lord. He wants to strip you away from your marriage. He wants you to walk out on the calling and dreams that he's given you. He wants to strip you away from your church, and he wants you to stay in the pit of despair. That is what we're up against, folks. There's a spiritual battle happening, and the enemy of our souls wants us to be in the pit. He'll use many different things to accomplish his mission. And I want to speak to those today in defeating the D's of despair. We're going to go over four D's that the enemy wants to use in your life to bring you into that end goal of despair, to strip you away from the Lord, to take away all of your hope. I'm here to tell you this morning that you can defeat these D's through the power of Christ that lives within you. You can. You are not a victim, you are a victor. You are more than a conqueror in him. So let's go over those, shall we? Number one, the first D that leads us to despair is disappointments. Look to your neighbor and say, are you disappointed right now? Hey, I like a vocal crew. It's okay. You can be loud. I'm okay with that. In fact, I encourage that. So if something hits you, go for it. Listen, we all have disappointments in life. We all do. And it's interesting to me that, you know, maybe your job isn't planning out the way that you thought it would, or your children didn't follow the plan you thought they would, or maybe you thought you'd be married by now, or maybe your family has disappointed you. Maybe you've even disappointed yourself. Or maybe your home football team went to four straight Super Bowls and lost them all. That's a disappointment. Like, we can't get one? Four straight, can't get one. Buffalo Bills, come on, Lord, put an anointing on them. But let's look at the life of Job, since I talked about it. In the first chapter, if you're there, we see that Job is a righteous, God-honoring man. So much that God says it himself. It says right here, Job 1:8, God says, there is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Job had it all. Job was rich. Job was righteous. Job feared God and shunned evil. And did I mention that he was rich? I just like to imagine things. Imagine if that time, right, there was the bachelor. You know, the bachelor where all the, there's one eligible bachelor and all the ladies want to marry that bachelor. That would have been Job in that time. And you can already hear the intro of that being like, ladies and gentlemen, on this season of the Old Testament Bachelor, we have Job. He's rich. He fears the Lord. He's righteous. And did I mention he's rich? Exactly. Like this is exactly the specimen of successful. He had it made. He had it all. But as we continue to read, Job lost everything. To break it down, Job lost 500 yoke of oxen. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to look up what that meant. And it means double that. So a yoke is something that you'd place on an oxen, and so there would be two. So he lost 1,000 oxen. 1,000 oxen, 500 donkeys, 300 camels, 7,000 sheep, and a large number of servants. And my kids are just upset when the goldfish dies, right? He lost everything. He even lost his daughters and his brother. But get this, that was chapter 1. You flip over to chapter 2, and it starts off with these words, on another day. Which I read that and say, hold on a second. He lost 1,000 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, 3,000 camels, 7,000 sheep, a large number of servants, his daughters, and his brother in one day. That's how it reads. One day. I know a lot of people are big on hashtags, and they put hashtag worst day ever. But this man, Job, could literally, he's the only one that could actually say that. He had the worst day ever. Talk about disappointment. In chapter 2, we also find out that he gets these terrible sores all over his body. And some say that these sores oozed pus out of them, and they itched and they hurt, and he had to use broken pottery to scrape them off. Talk about disappointment. You had everything. You loved God. You followed him, and in a matter of 2 days, you've lost everything, and you have sores on your body. That's disappointment. See, the enemy is trying to use this D of disappointment to bring Job into despair. And to make matters worse, Job's own wife turns on him as well. She says in Job 2, verse 9, says this, his wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain integrity? Curse God and die. Now, I know a lot of you have had your spouse say things to you that weren't the best, but had they ever said to you, curse God and die? His own wife, the one that he had married to, pledged his life to, is now given up, and she's in the pit of despair. This woman who he loves is turning on her husband, but also turning on the Lord. Disappointment. But Job replied, and guys, men, please don't say this. In verse 10, he says, you talk like a foolish woman. Again, I don't recommend that. I know it's in the Bible, but I don't recommend you say that your wife's foolish. He says, should we only accept the good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? And so in all this, Job said nothing wrong. Job did not turn on his God. He had disappointments after disappointments after disappointments, but he refused to curse God and to go into that pit of despair. Job defeated his disappointment, and it did not lead him to despair. He defeated that because the enemy wants you to believe that you're never going to have disappointments. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now, that is a false gospel that is being preached throughout this world sometimes, that once you become a Christian and give your life to Jesus, everything's going to be hunky-dory and great. It's going to be rainbows and unicorns and marshmallows when you fall. It's not true. Disappointments happen, but the enemy wants to use those to drag you away from the Lord. And I'm going to tell you today that it's always too early to quit. It's always too early to quit. God is calling us to defeat those disappointments that will happen in our life. God is saying, listen, if you think that nothing's going to happen, I'm just going to tell you you're in for some disappointment, okay? But sometimes what we need to do is just understand that those are happening. Jesus said these words, didn't he? He said, in this world you will have tribulation or trouble. But do not fear, for I am with you. Listen, I wonder to myself, why do we believe that? And I think it's a lie from the enemy that says you won't have anything wrong going in life. Because if the enemy can convince you that if you're a Christian, nothing's going to go wrong, then when they do go wrong, you're easier to swayed over into despair and no hope. Job had disappointments. He was righteous, as we talked. He loved the Lord. He revered him. And he had disappointments in his life. But we do not give up and allow disappointments to lead us into despair. Number two, the second D I have, is delays. These moments of disappointments can often lead to delays in our life. These are delays, you could also say, stuck in your disappointments. I should have had that much money saved. I should have more money saved. I should be this far along in my career. I screwed up. I did something wrong and I can never go back. I can't fix it. And if you've ever watched the movie Napoleon Dynamite, which I totally recommend, there's a character in that movie. His name is Uncle Rico. Uncle Rico is in his 40s. But he's still stuck in the past of being a football player. And he says multiple times, if coach would have just put me in, we would have won the championship. They would have seen it. There's no doubt in my mind. If I'd gone pro, I'd been there in a heartbeat. See, he continued to live in the past because of disappointments that he suffered. And he stayed stuck, staring at that Letterman jacket, saying, what if? What if? And he can never progress further in life. Sometimes the disappointments are from other people, like with Uncle Rico, the coach didn't put him in. But sometimes the disappointments are from ourselves. Let me tell you this morning, some of you are delayed and stuck, and you're looking at the past. You're actually sacrificing the future that God has for you. I want to say that again, just in case anybody didn't get it. If you're stuck looking at the past, and you're in a delay where you've been looking at the disappointments and saying, what if, I can't believe this happened, and you've been stuck there, you're sacrificing what God has for you in the future. You are actually saying, I don't want to take part in what God has for me in the future. Think about the Apostle Paul. If some of you don't know him, I'll just tell you real quick. For those of you who don't know, the Apostle Paul, he wrote the majority of the New Testament. He was instrumental in leading the early church. He was like a pastor and a pastor of pastors. But before he was the Apostle Paul, he was actually a man named Saul. And just before coming to Christ, his life was awful. He was a terrorist who ordered Christians to be jailed and killed. Now think about that for a second. I know we've all got past BC, before Christ. But have you ever ordered for Christians to be jailed and killed? Paul did. But Paul says this. Now keep in mind, now he's a Christian writing this. He's a follower of Jesus. Keep in mind that. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, he says this. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. Here it is. But I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. See, Paul used to kill and jail Christians, but he is forgetting the past. He's accepting that God has forgiven him, and he's looking forward into what God is having us do. I find that too many of us are stuck looking in the rearview mirror of our lives,
but have you noticed that the windshield is much bigger than the rearview mirror? And the windshield allows you to go forward, while that staring at that will actually cause you to crash. But when we're staring into the past, and listen, when you said yes to Jesus, you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, you are no longer, he does not even think about what you were in the past. He's only looking to the future. So the question is, why are we delayed? Why are we stuck? Why are we delaying ourselves from what God has for us in the future? Jesus sees beyond our disappointments. He sees beyond our failures. He doesn't hold us to our past. And once you repent, he's looking forward. God doesn't want you to get delayed in your past or what you did or what you didn't do or what somebody did to you or what they didn't do to you. Don't get delayed by the appointments. Don't get stuck. Don't hold yourself back, because he surely isn't holding you back. Don't be so focused on your past disappointments and failures that you forfeit your destiny. I feel like somebody needs to hear that this morning. Lord, would you just speak those words? Allow that to come alive, because there's freedom in him. The third one is damaging voices. Damaging voices that lead us into a pit of despair. In Job 42:7, God says these words. Now, when I say them, you're going to be thinking, who is he talking to? He says, I am angry with you. I don't want to hear those words. But let me tell you something. Those words were not meant for Job. He said those words to his friends. Let me explain why God is angry with his friends. He goes on and explains here, God says, because you have not spoken the truth about me. See, his friends were lying on God. Job's friends were talking about God, but they didn't know what they were talking about. They were trying to get all theological about the things that they didn't understand, and they were blaming Job for what was going on in his life. And they even blamed God for what was going on in Job's life. And God was sick of it. He was sick of the damaging voices in Job's lives. And the truth is, we need to be sick of the damaging voices in our lives, because God is as well. Sometimes if you want to move on from a moment, you need to move on from those damaging voices that are speaking to you. Some of these voices are keeping you stuck in despair, and you got to remove them. See, I can't always help the voices that speak around me, but I can decide on the voices that speak into me. I can't always do something about what words are being said around me, but I can, and you can, make a difference, and you can decide which ones are speaking into your life. Can I get an amen? I can't control what's going on at a family get-together. You've been there, right? Come on. You have those family get-togethers, and there's things being said, and you're like, you can't control that. You can't. You know, your drunk uncle's in the corner spewing off about all kinds of terrible stuff. Anybody else got a drunk uncle in their family? Okay. It's like you can't do anything about those, but you can control whose voice is speaking into your spirit. You can't always decide who you work with or who you do life with, but you can decide what conversations you engage with. I don't know what else to say, except for some of us just need new friends. I'm an adult, Pastor Josh. I know. I get it. You're not in youth group anymore. I got it. But let me ask you the question. Are the circles that you're in, your relationship circles, helping you or hurting you? Are they damaging voices? Are they hurting you? Are the circles in my life helping me move forward or keeping me stuck in where I'm at? So let's look back at Job. After these two terrible days, these two horrific chapters of loss, Job's buddies show up, and for the next 35 chapters, that's in your Bible, 35 chapters, Job's friends are trying to help him. 35 chapters of his friends lying about God, trying to be all holy and figure out what's going on, and Job just sits there and takes it. But God steps in and he says, I'm done with this. Why? Because he wants Job to succeed and he wants him to have life. He wants him to grow. He doesn't want him to be in the pit of despair. But Job's friends, their only concern is being right. Have you ever noticed? There are some people in our lives that say they want to help us, but they just want to be right. You wonder, like they're saying, hey, you must have sinned. You must have done something wrong. That's why God took everything away from you. We know that's not true. That's bad theology. Even in Jesus' day, he dealt with bad theology where people said, oh, this kid's sick because his parents must have sinned. And he's like, what are you doing? I'm sick of these damaging voices. God steps in, he says, I'm done. Now, so for some of you out there, if you're feeling like you're at the edge of the pit of despair, maybe you feel like you're in it, you need to silence and remove those damaging voices. You got to get rid of them. Get them out of there. Some of the damaging voices that are keeping you stuck are people that you don't even truly know. Like people on the news. Got heavy real quick. I remember when the news used to be about, here's what happened today. And actually, I find a paper that I read that's just that. No commentary, no fear. And it's on left and right. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. It's on both of them, okay? No matter what. And what they're doing is in that they are trying to get you into a state of fear. Because if they get you into a state of fear, then they got you locked in. Fear sells, people. You can see it. You can watch one thing on Fox, and then they'll have something and get you all riled up. And then you can go over to CNN and see how they're flipping it to get somebody else upset. It doesn't matter. The fear is the damaging voice that they're trying to use you. They're not trying to inform you what's going on. They're telling you what to do. The problem is, listen, I'm not saying, don't go back to Pastor Dave and say, he told us never to watch the news. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't be informed. But there is a point where you know that's damaging to your soul. There is a point that you get to, you say, what has happened to me? I'm actually losing friendships. I'm losing circles of influence because I've been so locked into this. That was me, 2016 election. I probably spent more time listening to political commentary than I did in the Word of God. That's a problem. The damaging voices were much louder in my life. We need to know when to say no. And it's not just news channels. It could be social media. Sorry, again, here we are. Listen, there was a season in my life I had to just turn off all social media from my phone. Had to. Because the damaging voices were affecting my spirit. The damaging voices of people who want to help you, or like Job's friends trying to help you, but they were just enraging me. And they were affecting me. So I deleted it. I said, I don't need this. Maybe it could be the news, or it could be your friends. It could be music. It could be dishonoring people. It could be temptation. It could be religious people. Watch out, that happens. Job's friends sure seemed like they knew about God. But Proverbs 4:23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard our hearts. Have some discernment for the voices speaking into your life. Whether that's people, friends, coworkers, the news, social media, people who say they're Christians, what we need to ask ourselves continuously with damaging voices is, what am I allowing to speak into my spirit? Is it helping me move forward, or is it keeping me stuck? If we don't want to get stuck in despair, we need to eliminate the damaging voices in our lives, but we also, number four, need to get rid of displeasure. Displeasure. Another word for that is complaining. Come on, complaining. You know, that thing you do when you're really upset about something and it just spews out, but you say, it's not complaining, I'm just telling you the way it is. I love that one. I'm not complaining, I'm venting. I like that one. I have a lady in my church. She's not here, so I can tell you. A lady in my church, she's the cleaning lady, and she's very, very, she vents a lot. She vents to me all the time. She says, Josh, I'm not complaining, I'm venting. But look at one of the things. Job did this too. It's kind of funny. Job did this. He did it in Job 10, verse 1. He says, I loathe my very life. For those who don't know what loathe means, it means I hate my life. Therefore, I will give free rein to my complaint. Listen to that heart. Free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. I think we can relate to Job that there is a moment sometimes where it feels really, really good to complain. It feels really good. It's like an itch, and you just got to scratch it. You know, you just got to get it, and you get on social media or you call your friends and you just complain and you voice your displeasure and you continue to do things. But can I tell you, the more we do that, the further God feels. Not the further he is, but the further he feels. Luckily, Job turned it around. Amen. In Job 42, 5 and 6, he says to the Lord this. He says, this is what I want you to get. I have only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. And he says this, I take back everything I've said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. In other words, Lord, I've only heard about your goodness, but now I see you. I'm sorry that I've been complaining for all this time. Lord, I'm sorry. I've noticed that displeasure and gratitude is kind of like a GPS system. It'll take you where you want to go. For example, if I'm going to go home, I live in Arcade, I have to go north, right? I have to put in the concordance and go north. But how many of you know if I decide I don't want to go north, I'm going to go south, I'm not going to get to where I want to go. I'm going to end up at your hunting camp over there. You know, that's where I'm going to end up, in Pennsylvania. But when I sit, and it's the same way, is that when we get into this displeasure and talking and complaining and we put that into our system, we're going to be going the opposite direction from the way the Lord wants us to go. And I always find, listen, this was a shower thought I had a couple weeks ago, and it was, you know, you get those moments and you're like, I better write that down. I found that people that are complaining and people that are negative and the people that are positive and thankful, both of them get what they're looking for. If you're only looking for the negative, you will find it. If you're only looking for the positive and what God's doing, you will find it. If I want to get out of despair and into the destination that God has called me to, or the destiny, then I need to get rid of all of this displeasure that I have in my life. And can I tell you, it is so difficult to not complain and focus on the negative, especially today. You know, there was a time where we didn't know who anybody voted for. Do you remember that? I can remember my grandparents. My grandma did not know who my grandpa voted for, and he didn't know who she voted for. But now everybody hops online in social media. They hop online. They text their friends. Every waking thought that we have. Can I just say, let's scale that back and start talking about the positive things that God is doing in our life, not the negative things. Amen? There's a new language that I need to learn in the kingdom of God. And that is the language that I am thankful for what God is doing. I am thankful that I'm seeing his face. It might not be great, but I'm thankful for his presence. He's calling repentance for our bad attitudes and displeasure. He's calling for us to move forward and drive to the destination and the destiny that he has for our lives. But we cannot get there from complaining and displeasure. That D needs to be defeated quicker than any other D on this list in the church. That D of just complaining. Listen, the world should not be looking at the church as the place where complaints come from. Because that's where they look. I'm not talking about this church. I don't even know you guys. So I'm talking about the church as a whole, okay? When the world looks at us and sees us complaining nonstop, it makes them think, why would I want to be a part of that? That sounds like they're in despair. Well, we're pretty darn close to it. But God is bigger than what's going on in our world, y'all. God is bigger than what's going on in our world. And God was bigger than the bad things that were happening to Job. And it wasn't until he said, Lord, I've only heard about your goodness, but now I see you. We need to be seeking the face of God. And after we read these 35 chapters of Job and his friends talking about all this stuff and asking Job questions and questioning God, I've noticed, you know, here's Job wondering, what is happening? Tell me why. What is happening? We've all been in those moments, haven't we? Where something happens in your family, you and your wife maybe split up for a season, or you have a family friend who hurts you or something, and you're wondering, God, why is this happening? But when we read a little further, we see that God shows up to Job. But get this, God doesn't answer Job's questions. God does not tell him why this happened, but he shows himself. God shows his creation. He shows the complexity of the universe. But he doesn't say, oh, well, that's what happened. That's why it happened. Here's why it happened. No. Seeing the face of God, seeing how big and wonderful he is, is the thing that set Job free, is seeking the face of God. The reason why we get stuck in long seasons of despair is also often because we're not seeking the face of God. We're too focused on the negative. We're too focused on our despair. We're too focused on the bad things that happen in life, and we're wondering, why, God, are you doing this? Why are you doing this? And the more we get into that, we allow our friends to speak into us. We keep being delayed. That brings us down to no hope. So let's make a stand this morning that we're not going to spend our time complaining about our circumstances. Let's make a stand this morning that we're going to trade our displeasure for gratitude. I would pray that your church of Wellsville Full Gospel Church would be known as a grateful church. I pray that that continues to happen as the world's a mess, that we're focusing on his face, even though the government's shady, that his kingdom is full of integrity, and even though there's sickness in the world, we serve a God who heals. Let's serve a stand. Let's make a stand for the Lord. Let's follow his face. Let's seek his face. What if every time you are about to complain, you just thank the Lord for what you had? You might say, what did Job have to thank for? He lost everything. He had God. He had the face of God. And he pursued it and he found it. Will you stand with me this morning? In closing, I want to say, you know, we covered some D's here of despair. Disappointments, delays, destructive voices, displeasure, and unfortunately there's many more that we can't cover today, but there's something I want to leave with you this morning. Job lived hundreds of years long. That's a long time. It's a long time. We're not sure exactly, but we do know that after the loss happened, he lived for another 140 years. I'm like, I hope I get another like 40 out of my life, but here he is, 140. And many theologians say that this book that we read, Job's loss and heartache, lasted for 1 to 9 months. 1 to 9 months, but he lived for 140 years. And this tells me something, that when crisis strikes, God doesn't want that to be the end, but God has more in store for you. I find it interesting that when Job repented and sought after God, once Job passed his disappointments and he defeated his disappointments, once Job's friends shut their mouths and once Job prayed for them in their repentance, once Job learned that displeasure is not what he needed but gratitude, therefore, and that's when God blessed Job. It says that God doubled the blessing for Job. I want to tell you this morning that God is not through blessing you. He is not through with your life. But the question, here's the question. Are you ready to turn this thing around? Are you ready? Because I got news for you today. He's not through blessing you. But don't give into the deeds of the despair. Don't give through their, God can't do this with me. I can't get. Listen, you put your hope and you seek the face of God like Job did. I've heard about how good your goodness, but Lord, I see your face. Lord, let us be that. Lord, I don't know who's here this morning. I don't know their lives. I don't know what's going on in their lives. But Lord, I do know this, that your face is all we need. Lord, I pray that as they are standing here, that you would fill them. Lord, fill them, not with the deeds of despair, but Lord, that you would fill them with your power, your hope, your might, Lord, your presence. We need your presence. Lord, we're sorry for allowing disappointments to rule our lives. We're sorry, Lord, for allowing those things to lead to delays where we haven't moved into what you were calling us for. Lord, we're sorry at the same time, Lord, for the damaging voices, people and things and news and all this stuff that's been pushing us into despair. And Lord, we're turning to you and saying, there is displeasure, there are things we're not happy for, but we're focusing on gratitude and your face alone. Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning that are feeling as if they are in that pit of despair and there's no hope. And I pray, Lord, that you would hook them up with an IV of sorts that is full of your hope and goodness, that they would feel your presence, and that they would know that you're not through blessing them. Lord, I would pray that they would not just look after the blessings, but after your face. Because that's where the blessing came from, when Job was looking at how good he is. Not the goodness that he brings, but how good he is. Lord, I pray that this church, Wellsville Full Gospel, would be known as a place, as I prayed earlier in our prayer group this morning, as a place of healing. And Lord, as I picture a magnet on top of this church, Lord, I pray that those paper clips will come flooding into this place, and the people here in this room today, Lord, the people part of this church family, would be known as the people that are the conduit into your presence, that are not leading people into a pit of despair, but are leading them into the mountaintop of victory. Victory. This is a church of victory in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that. I pray, Lord, for anybody that's here and you got these disappointments that have been holding you back for a long time. Time to take that rear view mirror, take it off, and throw it out the window. God has something new in store for you. He's not holding you back. Once you say sorry, maybe you have to do that this morning. Maybe you have to just say, God, I need you to forgive me for what I did. Can I tell you, as soon as you say that, it's done. He's forgiven you. Don't even look back. Don't look back. Just keep moving forward. Some of you are going to need some help getting rid of some of the voices in your life that are damaging you. Find accountability with your brothers and sisters here. Find someone who you can talk to that will be a positive voice in your life that leads you into relationship even deeper with Jesus. Because God doesn't want you to end up in despair. He doesn't want you to have no hope. He doesn't want you to give up on him, because it's always too early to quit. Father, would you just come and your Holy Spirit fill this place. Fill our hearts. Fill our hearts, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen. And the rain came right at the right time. There you go. All right, listen, so if you need any prayer, there will be some people up here to pray for you. And next week you got Roscoe Schnell coming. He's another PCF guy, and he's got an awesome word for you as well. So God bless you as you go.
that.